You're invited to travel the world and discover what it means to live the intercontinental life. With more than 200 properties worldwide, Intercontinental Hotels and Resorts welcomes you to iconic properties in global destinations including New York, London, and Shanghai. Discover more about these cities and the tales they inspire with Stories of the Intercontinental Life, a collection of stories that will excite your curiosity and offer new perspectives on the world. Hear more at intercontinental.com/life.
Here's your money briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen at the Wall Street Journal in New York. Many small lenders have been digging into your shopping habits and your ability to pay your phone bill on time to determine whether you're a lending risk. Well, now the big banks want in on that action, too. We'll explain in a moment. First, some money and market news you should know. Inflation inched higher by 0.1% in August. According to government data, rent and medical prices were the main drivers behind stronger inflation. That inflation figure would have been higher if not for weaker energy prices, including lower gas prices at the pump. Overall, prices including food and energy are up 1.7% from a year ago. And a survey by creditcards.com takes a look at how people tip service personnel. Women are more likely than men to always tip hairstylists, wait staff, and food delivery people. But women give about a percentage point less than men. And while baby boomers are more likely than millennials to always tip their wait staff at a restaurant, millennials tip an average of 22%. But baby boomers usually give 17%.
You're invited to travel the world and discover what it means to live the intercontinental life. With more than 200 properties worldwide, Intercontinental Hotels and Resorts welcomes you to iconic properties in global destinations including New York, London, and Shanghai. Discover more about these cities and the tales they inspire with Stories of the Intercontinental Life, a collection of stories that will excite your curiosity and offer new perspectives on the world. Hear more at intercontinental.com/life.
For decades, when consumers wanted money from a bank, their credit score was the key to getting a loan. But millions of Americans have little or no borrowing history and no credit score. But the banks want their business, too. Wall Street Journal reporter Anna Maria Andriotis is here with some unexpected data that banks are using to reach them and loosen the qualifications. So, Anna Maria, the banks are looking to make more money on lending and to determine someone's risk profile. They're diving into data far beyond just simply, do you pay your bills on time?
The data ranges from somewhat boring accounts. So you think about things like bank accounts and whether people have enough cash in them, if they're overdrawing those accounts or not, whether they're paying their phone and utility bills, to some pretty peculiar data points. Things like if they subscribe to magazines and pay them, if they tend to shop at discount stores, if they tend to spend more money buying groceries than they do eating out.
Wow. So the banks are just following me at every step of my day. And the smaller banks have been doing this for a while. They've been looking for opportunities to bring more people into the fold by using some unorthodox data like this. But now the big banks want a piece of this action as well.
So small lenders, in particular, the fintech lenders, many of which launched after the last recession, as a way to sort of stand out from the big lenders and try to approve borrowers that the big lenders weren't approving, turned to various types of so-called alternative data that's outside of credit reports and scores. What has been happening more recently is that interest in this type of data has been playing out at the big banks. So, for example, Ally Financial, one of the largest auto lenders in the country, reviews data including things like electric bills, utility bills, phone bills, as they determine whether people can get approved for car loans or not. Discover Financial, one of the larger credit card issuers in the country, is right now experimenting with different types of data that it'll be using to underwrite people for personal loans. And one of the areas of interest there is looking at whether these people shop at discount stores and giving them essentially, assigning to them less risk. risk.
So why would someone shopping at a discount store mean less risk to a bank?
Credit card holders who use their cards to shop at discount stores, there has been some type of correlation that has been found there, that they are less likely to be credit risks.
Interesting, because you would think that maybe if somebody was going to a discount store, they might have less money to spend on food and products there than they would at a store that might sell it at a more expensive price.
I was surprised by this, too.
But I suppose paying your credit card off on time, regardless of where you are, is just as valuable to the bank, you know, no matter where it is.
Look, I've been covering consumer lending for over a decade, and I would have never thought that things like magazines and discount stores would be factored into whether or not somebody's getting a loan. I think the fact that they are being reviewed and that lenders are, you know, experimenting with this type of these types of data sets says a lot about where the consumer lending industry is right now, right? So basically, since the last recession, big banks, big U.S. lenders have been reluctant to lend to subprime borrowers, right? So they've basically spent the last 10 years or so largely lending to people with credit scores of 720 or so or higher. Well, at some point, that pool of people gets tapped out. And when we look at national data in terms of consumer record levels in the U.S., U.S. consumer debt is at record highs. You look at student loans, you look at credit cards, you look at auto loans, they've never been higher. So how do lenders keep loan volume going, right, which they obviously need to do, while not increasing loan losses? And that's, I think, how we get to the place we're at now.
There's a number that jumped out at me in your story, the fact that 53 million people do not have a credit score at all. And they are out there and ready for the picking by the banks. But the fact they don't have a credit score, does that mean they only use cash?
It can mean a variety of things. It can mean that they only use cash. It can mean that they recently moved to the U.S. You can be a stellar borrower abroad all your life. That'll mean nothing when you come to the U.S. because you're starting from scratch.
It does not follow you. Oh, okay.
I spoke with one individual who had this experience. In his case, he was stunned. He says that he was very creditworthy when he was abroad. He works in a pretty solid industry as well, seems to have a good job. And when he came here, he moved to Texas. He went to a big bank to apply for a credit card, and he was rejected. He said, "What do you mean I'm rejected?" And he was told, "Well, you have a rock bottom credit score." And he then turned to HSBC. I thought this was really interesting. So he contacted HSBC and he said, I have all this history with you guys abroad, credit card, deposit accounts. I can't get real credit, affordable credit here in the U.S. and it's ridiculous. Please do something to help me. So HSBC reviewed his history with the bank abroad and said, okay, we will approve you for a U.S. credit card, gave him a pretty large spending limit on that credit card. And that helped to essentially get him going and get him into the credit system in the U.S.
So is it just the banks that are pushing to bring more people into the fold, or are there other factors here?
So federal regulators are also interested in this. And essentially, over the last few years, regulators have been in discussions with some of the larger consumer credit companies in this country, ranging from the likes of FICO, the largest credit score provider, to large credit reporting firms like Experian. And essentially, what the regulators have expressed interest in is there a way to start tracking, measuring more data on consumers so that more people can get access to affordable credit? Much of this conversation is around the unbanked and underbanked populations in the U.S. So simultaneously, there have been essentially several things playing out. Regulators have been expressing interest in this type of underwriting. Lenders, increasingly big lenders, have also been speaking with the likes of FICO and saying, is there other data that can be included in FICO credit scores in order for us to bring more people into the system, to be able to lend to more people without introducing more risk and running into the risk of raising loan losses. And it's interesting because as all of these dynamics have been playing out, really a culmination of that, we saw play out towards the end of last year, which was when FICO announced that it was rolling out a new credit score that was really unprecedented. So since 1989, when FICO scores launched, the scores have been based on information in credit reports, and that information is largely comprised of how you and I manage credit cards, loans, financing, essentially. The new credit score that FICO announced late last year would basically be calculated by taking into account how you manage your bank accounts. Do you have several hundred dollars at least in your bank account every month? Do you overdraw? If you do overdraw, you're risky. If you don't, you're not risky. And the score would is essentially created to function as an appeal of sorts, so that if you go to a lender and you say, and you apply for a loan and you don't meet the credit score requirement that lender has, the lender can recalculate your score, taking into account how you manage your bank accounts to get you over that hump to get you approved. Well, a few weeks after this announcement by FICO, Experian announced that it was going to start adding cell phone bills, utility bills to certain people's credit reports.
All right. That's Wall Street Journal reporter Anna Maria Andriotis here in our studio. Anna Maria, thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen in New York for The Wall Street Journal.